You're listening to SBS News. Almost 86% of Australians over the age of 16 are now fully vaccinated against COVID-19, which means restrictions are gradually being lifted. With curfews and lockdowns gone for now, there's a celebratory mood among many. But life is quite complicated for those left mourning relatives who have died with COVID-19. So far, almost 1,950 people have died in Australia with coronavirus since the onset of the pandemic. Melbourne woman Callista Studdard's mother, Donna, died with COVID-19 in an aged care home in Canada in November last year. With Australia's travel ban in place, which required people to obtain exemptions to leave the country, Ms. Studdard was forced to watch her mother's funeral over Zoom.
It was my worst fear to lose my mum while overseas, but it was another with that drawn impact of I can't even get on a plane to go to a funeral. It was literally, I sat on my partner's lap and watched a Zoom video of my mother's funeral, and it was a nightmare.
Psychologist Dr. Glenn Hosking says the pandemic has made it so much harder for people to grieve, with the caps on funerals and the travel restrictions. He says it's important for people to realise that navigating their way through grief under these circumstances is going to be more complex.
A really important thing for anyone that's in a position like this is to really appreciate that the mixed reactions and the complex reactions are really normal and really usual reactions to something like this. Grief in these kinds of circumstances and contexts is not normal grief. Grief is painful enough in any kind of situation. It's more complex within this, and it's a really important thing for individuals to accept that this is going to be a bit more difficult and it's going to take a bit more time in order to be able to work through and process the grief.
Callista Studdard says she's had extensive group and one-on-one grief counselling through the Australian Centre for Grief and Bereavement.
Validating that, you're not going insane. Validating that, everybody goes through a process. And then also it's taught me that not the only one who's lost somebody. So, I've got to have that understanding and compassion as well.
It was recently revealed the Chief Health Officer in New South Wales recommended Sydney impose a strict lockdown in an email she sent on the 13th of July. Dr. Kerry Chant's recommendation was based on modelling from the Burnett Institute that concluded a Victoria-style Stage 4 lockdown offered the state the best chance to contain the outbreak, which started in mid-June. Some of the strict measures were introduced 1 week later, but the New South Wales government didn't implement others until much later. The New South Wales opposition says the emails show the government had not followed the health advice, despite repeated assurances to the contrary from the then Premier Gladys Berejiklian. Her successor, Dominic Perrottet, says the government hadn't always got everything right, but he says it got the balance right. Psychologist Dr. Glenn Hosking says the email revelations, which raise questions about whether more actions could have been taken to reduce the loss of life, can also make grieving more complicated.
We know that about when people lose a loved one to a motor vehicle accident or we lose a loved one to suicide, that those added dimensions add further complexity to it and make that grieving process much harder. And so particularly in a case like these kinds of cases where there's things that could have been done to prevent it and a sense of blame can be placed, all of these things make the grieving process harder because they do detract from and take a focus away from the extent of grief and the extent of sadness that's there and around the loss of any loved person.
More than 1,000 people have died in Australia with COVID-19 since Sydney's Delta outbreak began. One epidemiologist says the New South Wales government has not been held to account for what he regards as a breach of the COVID-19 protocols. The outbreak started when an unvaccinated limousine driver from Bondi, who wasn't wearing a mask, became infected after transporting infected air crew from the United States. Epidemiologist Michael Toole from the Burnet Institute says almost all of the cases that have been reported in Australia since mid-June can be traced back genomically to that first case in Bondi that was acquired at Sydney Airport. He says it's led to at least 165,000 cases in New South Wales, the ACT and Victoria since mid-June.
I don't see any judicial inquiries such as we had in Victoria last year. I don't even see any interest in the fact that this quite negligent breach of protocols in Sydney Airport led to more than 1,000 people dying.
More than 800 people died in Victoria last year when the virus escaped from quarantine hotels. Most of the fatalities were among unvaccinated elderly people in aged care. 50 people died at St Basil's Aged Care in Faulkner, in Melbourne's northern suburbs, at least 45 of them with COVID, and almost 100 staff were also infected. It was Australia's deadliest aged care outbreak and is the subject of a coronial inquiry. Christine Golding is among the St Basil's relatives demanding accountability after her 84-year-old mother, Ephraxia Tazalanidis, died in August last year.
I wanted the true story told about what happened at St Basil's, what happened to our loved ones, the suffering, the neglect that they experienced. So I want the truth to be told. I want justice for my mother and for the residents, and for me, justice will take the form of accountability of the bodies that failed.
Michael Toole says he's surprised that level of accountability isn't being demanded of the New South Wales government.
We're having a coronial inquest into the deaths of 50 elderly people in an aged care home last year, St Basil's. And yet we're kind of not noticing that more than 1,000 people have died since mid-June from a preventable disease. I don't quite understand it. I guess we're just so focused on the positive at the moment, the increase in vaccination and the lifting of restrictions, that we're choosing not to acknowledge the grief that must be gripping so many families. And so many of these deaths are in people, you know, in their 40s, 50s and 60s.
If this story has raised concerns, help is available from a range of service providers, including the Australian Centre for Grief and Bereavement at grief.org.au or by calling Lifeline on 13 11 14. Greg Dyett, SBS News.